Right, let me see. Damn. Yeah. What's going on there? Yo.
What's going on,
Oh,
brother?
take.
What's up, Doc? Salute, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I was actually all into your conversation. I'm like, shit, I didn't want it to end.
Oh man, nah, it's all good. That's my so on my True Radio, that's my one of my co-hosts.
Okay, cool.
I was talking to, yeah. So man, I'm excited about tonight. This is like my second time doing like an Instagram live like interaction with a live audience on Instagram like this. You know what I'm saying? I think it's important that we talk about collaborations, mental health. That whole ordeal, you feel me? So, man, I'm just glad that we was able to pick up the phone as brothers, text each other, be like, "Yo, let's set this up, let's get it going,"
Yeah,
and
definitely, man.
talk about some mental health issues, bro. So, you want to introduce yourself to the people that follow me that don't know you, and you know what I mean?
Nah, definitely. I appreciate it. First, again, definitely appreciate us even having that opportunity for us to collaborate and, having such a tremendous discussion. This is a very important discussion, and it's a discussion that I think, just in general, more people need to have. So salute to you for really, setting this up. So I definitely appreciate that.
Oh no, yeah, no problem.
For those who do not know who I am, my name is Dr. Brown. I have my own podcast, JB versus Everybody. I'm just a humble man, just a humble guy. Just in terms of my own professional life, I am a operations manager at a Fortune 500 company. I'm also an educator. I'm an online professor. And like I said, for me, just in particular with this particular topic, this is something that's really dear to me. It's something that is important to me. And, as we kind of just discussed, I'll share some of my experiences, and I'm sure, Mr. Randy, you'll share some of your experiences, and you can kind of see why it's so.
Yeah. It's a lot, man. So I used to mentor a lot of young kids from middle school to high school age. They was in the projects, that's we have that story, similarities there as far as me mentoring the kids and stuff. And then being interacting with adults now on even business-minded, activist-minded, podcast, radio-minded. Like I was doing we call podcast. I was doing that like 2013 to then I stopped in 2017 and I just relaunched it again in 2020. But I realized dealing with a lot of people, man, and mental health is a very, very, very serious topic.
That's
But it's not a topic to like clown about. It's a topic where like if you really need help, if you really need somebody to assist you in life, when you have mental health issues, man, seek help for real. Like, personally, I had a brother, my older brother, or my mom, my mother, my biological father. I have a few siblings there, but my mom's only had one sibling. It's my older brother. He was 6 years older than me. He committed suicide when I
Oh,
was
wow.
12,
Condolences,
13
man.
years old. Yeah. And I feel like if mental health wasn't looked at as a bad thing in our community, I feel like that maybe that could have been avoided. You know what I'm saying? And the effects the decisions that people make when they're dealing with mental illness and mental health, not only just affects them, it affects everyone that loves them, And so I want to encourage people to seek help. Go get a therapist. Go talk to a professional. It can't always be just your homeboy or your homegirl. Like, seek professional help if you need that. What is your take on all on mental health and people seeking help? Have you helped people in that field before, like get themselves together or what? I mean, talk to me.
Definitely. And one, I definitely just appreciate you, sharing with me, what happened to your brother, and just sharing with our audience in general. That's not an easy task. That's not an easy feat. So you should be saluted for that just alone. And I think, just in terms of, in general, what is difficult and probably goes unnoticed is that there's so many different signs of or warning signs of mental health. And I think many of us, because we're just so focused on the day to day, and I just need to get through this day, that they're just ignoring the signs, right?
Okay.
It could be so many just simple things, like just having low energy, or, you know, eating too much, eating too little, you know, those times where you're feeling helpless or hopeless. And, you know, you just kind of say, nope, I'm just having a bad day, right? It's these little warning signs that, you know, you really need to pay attention, especially if they're happening so frequently. And, you know, to your point, there's a lot of times where, you know, you talk to your homeboy or you talk to your friend and it's just like, you know what, you're just having a bad day. You just need some sleep. And that's probably true. But on the same token is that if it's a reoccurring theme, you should potentially go seek professional help. And just in the sense that, you know, maybe you just need someone to talk to that doesn't know you. Right. So, you know, they're not going to just to be a little bit more objective of what you're feeling. And you just having a better understanding of what you're going through. And a lot of times I think when you're talking to your friends have, you know, your best interests in mind, but they also going to probably tell you what you want to hear, just in a sense to kind of get you out of whatever funk you're in.
Yeah.
You know, just like me personally, like I have a wonderful circle of friends. I love my friends. And, you know, but there were times where I had to go seek professional help. Because I have, like, so me personally, just for the audience, like, I have anxiety. I, you know, I suffered from depression when I was younger. And, you know, there's a lot of things that I just didn't understand. And, you know, talking to your friends, they may not necessarily process or even see the signs that you're going through as well.
Right.
And it was me having these conversations with professionals that are, you know, they're studying this craft. Like, they have literally the knowledge of the subject. So, you know, what I will say is that a lot of times they're going to just tell you something that is just so common sense, but you just need to hear from someone else. Like, you know, when you hear from like a teacher or you hear from even like your parents, like they'll give you the same exact information, but for some reason it just resonates different when you hear it from somebody else.
Yeah. So let me ask this. What if you were to give a definition or try to frame what mental health is, because there's a lot of opinions out there on mental health. Like, what can we frame? Because I want to turn this into a series, because there's a lot of people, especially in my activism work, that I come across that really have mental health issues. And I want to be able, I don't want to offend them and say, hey, I think you have mental health issues. Yeah. I want to be able to like, hey, check out my live or check out this. I put on YouTube with me and Dr. Brown. We talked about this, tell me your thoughts. You know, I want to help them in that kind of like ease it that way. So frame what you feel like is the definition of mental health for the audience sake.
Yeah, definitely. And let me just give this quick disclaimer to the audience that even though I am known as Dr. Brown, my specialization is in organizational leadership. So I just want to make that very clear. I don't want anyone to think that this is,
please, you know, make that clear. Yeah.
I don't want anyone to think that, you know, this is advice in terms of, you know, professional advice. I just want to make that very clear to the audience.
Yeah.
But I think what mental health is in general, like, it includes like just so many different things, right? It's emotional, it's psychological, it's your social well-being, it's, you know, the way that we feel, the way that we think, the way that we act. It's even comes down to genes at times and your brain chemistry and, you know, biological factors. So there's a lot of things that really go into mental health. I'm trying to think really what else I can add to that definition.
I think also people can use mental health as a crutch to not grow or be accountable for what they do. For example, we give them the label of having mental health because we don't want to challenge them to grow further. One thing I do know about mental health is once that you're actively seeking help, and once you're talking and dialoguing and working through and steps to break the habits of depression and anger and things like that, it's an everyday struggle.
Yep.
And you have great high moments, you have great low moments, but excuses only add to the problem of it bearing you down and not elevating you out of it. I feel like a lot of murders and a lot of suicides and a lot of people giving up on themselves, I feel like even a lot of obese problems and things like mm-hmm. that come from inward anger, that depression, that sadness. And I feel like society labels have put so much illusions out there of who we should be, that we begin to want to be what society has programmed us to be. And that causes our minds, the frequencies in our minds, to go up and down and fluctuate. And then so when we don't have that perfect beach body, we don't have that perfect skin tone or that perfect haircut or hairstyle, mm-hmm. then we look at ourselves and we devalue ourselves. And I feel like that could be, as I would say, a compromised mentality, as you said earlier in our discussion, our little dialogue, compromised mentality, looking at someone as your enemy when they have done nothing to you.
Yeah.
To me, that's a compromised mentality. What's your thoughts on that? What are some examples of something you want to give about compromised mentalities, and how do you feel like we can break that kind of mindset?
Yeah, and that's really tough, and it's a great question, because you know we have so many different examples, right? Like you take
Dr. Brown.
Yes.
So, JB.
Yes, just call me JB is fine, brother.
JB. Someone, and also address the question that someone just asked. I am Judy. Justin just asked the question. So okay. After you explain, address that for me, please.
Yeah, definitely. You know, just in terms of compromise, you know, mentalities, I think we have so many different examples, like literally right in front of our face. I think, you know, someone like a Kanye West is probably a perfect example. And I feel like, you know, when he was kind of talking about it, that's what he was really alluding to. Because this is someone that, you know, you're like, you see him, like if you follow him on Twitter or you even see some of his rants on like TMZ or any of that stuff, like you see someone that's honestly that looks troubled.
Yeah.
But then then you have to kind of, and you hate to even try, but it's like, okay, is that he's doing this for attention because he's trying to sell a product? Or is it the fact that he's truly, you know, there's something just a little bit off and he needs help?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where it gets really challenging, because, you know, just in terms of a compromised mentality, it's okay, I don't know, you know, exactly what I'm feeling, right? I don't know exactly, you know, what to do. So, you know, to your point, like I'm gonna just make an excuse. It's gonna be like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just gonna call this an off day, right? But in reality, it's you know, this is something where you really should be, you know, actively seeking some form of help. Just even I think one of the things that we're just always just trying to get across, just, you know, just in terms of a regular conversation, is it's okay if you go to a therapist and it's not for you, right? I want to make that very, very clear. And it's like there's a stigma, like if there's something wrong with going just to seek help. Like, you know, I don't know shit about cars, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know nothing about cars. All I know is I pay my bill, I can drive it wherever the hell I want. With something wrong, I go to a mechanic. And you know what? Yes. If this mechanic is not giving me the answer that I want, then I go to another mechanic. And I go to another mechanic. I'll do some reading so I can just have some more, you know, just knowledge on the subject in general. And then I can make an informed decision. And that's honestly the same way that you should be treating your mental health, is, you know, what works for Mr. Randy may not work for JB. What works for JB is not going to work for Susie. Like, there's no right or wrong. But I think the most important thing, and it kind of goes back with, you know, Judy Judson's question here, is, you know, how do you know that you have an issue, and how do you encourage people to seek help? That's the tough part, right? And that kind of goes back to the warning signs. It's like, how do I know that I do have an issue, right? You know, so we kind of went through really quick some of the warning signs, but the challenge is, okay, why am I always feeling this way? Right. And that's where it becomes almost like a self-evaluation. It's okay, is it this that's making me feel like this? Is it A that's making me feel like B? Is it D that's making me feel like E? And to something that you said as well is there's has to be some form of accountability as well.
Yes.
I need to, you know, one, accept the fact that I need some sort of assistance. I need some sort of help. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, you know, we didn't come out the womb, you know, being able to do everything that we ever, you know, we've accomplished in life.
Yeah. And I think it's good to have accountability, because if you only receive everything from the filter of your perspective without having other people's perspectives around, that can actually cause a sickness, because you may not be your perception could be wrong. You can be looking at everything the right way. You could be perceiving something wrong. Like, for example, if I was to put a six in front of me and you were sitting across from me, it would be a nine to you based upon your perception of where you're sitting at. You see what I'm saying? And so if we don't seek not just therapists also, but mentors. Because I hear a lot of people say they have trust issues. They have, they've been wounded before, so it's hard for them to make new friends. There's even a popular cliche that I've even been guilty of using is no new niggas. You know, but what if, you know, God or is sending someone your way that's new, that can actually catapult you to where you want to go? But because you're using past wounds and damages, and that's replaying in your mind constantly, that you block off a new person from coming into your life. What I'm saying is, I feel like you should have a criteria for people that you let inside your circle. And to be honest, you can't really accept someone in your circle until they've been battle tested. You have to go through trial and error with the individual to understand if you can accept them to be close to you or not. But every now and then, you also need a Judas in your camp. You also need someone who's gonna go against you to make sure that you keep your ducks in the row, to make sure that you're on point. Because as human beings, first of all, you're not gonna agree on everything, and secondly, you need opposition to help you grow, or you'll be comfortable. And comfortable, once you're comfortable, you're content with where you're at, because everything is running smooth sailing and it's kind of like in your control. Which brings up another point I want to talk about mental illness in our community is control. Like, people freak out when they can't control a situation. And Judy's chiming in real good. She said, you get like flashbacks of past betrayals. Yeah, that's true. And Judy, I want to address Judy real quick before we continue dialoguing.
Please.
You know, Judy, it's healthy to talk to someone who has no biases when it comes to the betrayals that has happened in your life. Because in every betrayal, you'll realize that you've either missed seeing something or you've opened a doorway for that betrayal. When I, the past friends that I used to have that betrayed me, what I've realized talking to it with other people is there were warning signs, as JB said earlier, that I missed because I was caught up in the friendship from my perception and not the reality of what was going on. And that in of itself, but what I learned in life, that in itself is not to treat the next person for the mistakes of others. But we live in a society today where everyone wants to be the tough person, where everyone wants to have this image of being tough and solid and independent and successful, that we miss the process. If that makes sense. JB, you want to speak to anything I just said right now?
Yeah, I mean, there's it was a lot. I mean, it was all well said. you know, just kind of talking with my own personal experience, right? Like I have anxiety around people. So it takes a lot to, you know, to your point, to bring someone into my circle. And also, like, I just agree in the sense that, you know, they have to be somewhat battle tested to the point where I can even trust them. But, you know, on the same token is, if there is a new person that comes into my life, you know, I still, even because of past betrayals or just the way that I view things in general, you know, I still should be open-minded and give them a chance. And I think that's where it gets a little bit tough, because in today's society is you don't know people's true intentions, right? So, you know, they're coming in into your life, or they're trying to come into your life, you know, so you're from one set, from your perspective, you're trying to understand, okay, what's their purpose? Are they going to add any type of value to my life? Is it an opportunity for me to network? Is it, you know, an opportunity to have a relationship with this person? Is it an opportunity for whatever, X, Y, Z? And that becomes difficult, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, one of the things that we didn't touch on yet, you know, a lot of the, you know, once you become an adult, you're pretty much set in your ways.
Yeah.
And that becomes, you know, extremely difficult.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, if I'm growing up and I'm a little bit more outgoing and I'm a little bit more trusting, you know, you're probably going to be like that as an adult. You know, if you're kind of a little bit more of an introvert, you're a little bit more reserved, you know, it kind of magnifies as you get older.
Yes.
So that, you know, again, that's where it gets really, really tough. But, you know, just kind of going back and piggybacking off the things that you said, you know, it's important to, I try to always just give people the benefit of the doubt. Right. And I'm going to have an open mind. I'm going to keep you at arm's length. I'm going to keep it 1,000%. I'll keep you at arm's length. But you know what? I'm going to believe, or I like to believe, that your intentions are good. But whatever relationship that we're working on, you know, collectively, I'm going to just assume that it's beneficial to you and it's beneficial to me. And then once I see that it's not beneficial, like, you could be a toxic individual, but I don't know that, you know, from our first conversation. Like, you could be this phenomenal person. And I think a lot of people, you know, it's difficult as well, because, you know, you're investing time, you're investing energy into an individual, and then you start to see the signs. So it's like, okay, how do I cut this person off? Or, you know, should I cut this person off? Is it, you know, how's it impacting my mental health, right? You can have that person that is a wonderful person, but maybe they're like a Debbie Downer. So now when they're around you, your whole entire mood changes. Because now it's that negative energy that is feeding off of them and it's onto you. And again, you know, they can have a lot of good attributes. But, you know, as a friend, you may try to say, hey, you might want to, again, go seek help, talk to me. Maybe we can do this together. You know, if you feel that's somebody that, you know, is going to continue to add value in your life.
Yeah. You know, every good person isn't good for you.
Mm-hmm.
They may have good morals, may have good intentions, but their actions and their words or their deeds could be damaging to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I said, that's why I love what you said earlier. You know, it kind of reminded me of something I went through in the past couple of years. One of the things that I'm challenged with mentally is I don't like to promote myself. And I'm going to tell you why I feel like that's a mental health issue with me. And you can correct me if you're wrong from your perspective. But for me, I feel like sometimes I shrink back or I hide who I am. I don't let myself shine as brightly because I don't want to ruin or intimidate the people around me, or sometimes when I'm just saying, hey, this is what I've been doing, this is what I have going on, I feel like people take that as me trying to be arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know most of it is they're just envious and jealous. I get that. But for those that I know are good people that may say to others that I overhear is, oh, he's talking about himself. And I haven't really started promoting myself until this year. Like, all the community work I've done, all the activism work I've done, all the great things I've done to help other people. I didn't really start promoting myself until this year because I realized that it was mentally damaging for me to constantly hide who I am for the sake of other people's feelings. And I realized that the motive of those individuals were that they wanted the spotlight. They wanted to be the influencers or the people who have they wanted what I possessed.
Yeah.
And because I'm younger than them, I'm only 33 years old, or because people tend to flock to me on a personal level, interacting, mentoring, and things like that, they try to find character flaws in me.
Mm-hmm.
And when they can't find none, they try to create some. And then the test of time proves them wrong. And so it makes me mentally, it makes me shut down. And so I talked to a therapist a few times about just about life, about some things.
Yeah.
And I realized that this year, man, if I didn't have those conversations with that therapist, if I didn't have those conversations with people that I know have my best interest in heart, but wasn't just yes men or yes women, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
If I didn't have those conversations, I still would have been mentally shut down, not realizing that if I shine, I may help another person break through their illness, their mental bondage, if you will, their capacity that's holding them down, you know. And even like with you, you know, the first time I saw your JD versus Everybody podcast, I listened to it, and I was like, man, I would love to collaborate with this brother. You know, it took me a while because I didn't want to say, hey, I'm this guy. This is what I do. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I felt like it was the right opportunity to be like, you know, I want to collab with you. This is what I'm thinking. Let's do this together. Because at the end of the day, I don't care if you have more followers than me or more fans than me or whatever, listeners, whatever. If I support what you do, I want to be a part of that. I want to help elevate that. You know what I'm saying? So that's why.
Definitely.
Yeah. So. Did you want to talk about how can we get past all of that? Yeah, talk to me.
It's so interesting with what you're saying, right? Because like I'm very similar. I'm similar in the sense of from my professional standpoint or my job in general, right? Like I'm the behind the guy scene. I just want to go get the job done, and I'm not looking to say, hey, look, everyone, I just did this. Hey, look, everyone. Look at me. But unfortunately, I work in, you know, in corporate America, like you have to literally do that if you want to continue to climb up the ladder, right? It's all about what did you do for me today? What are you working on in the future? And how much did you save the company, right? And you know, similar to like what you're saying, like, so for me and my journey, like my friends, my circle of friends are, like, I love these guys. So I had the opportunity of playing Division I football. And that's where I met all of them. And so we're literally battle tested, you know, 5 a.m. running with them, training with them, eat, sleep, everything. Like, I've known these guys for years. And the reason why we're so close and we're so bonded and we're so together is because we don't have a problem saying, JB, cut the shit. You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And that's so important. And then see that message. It's, oh, shit, you know what? I know he has his best, I know that he cares about me, and he's making these comments not to make me feel bad or to put me down. It's to say, hey, JB, wake up. You need to kind of look at this from a different perspective. And of course, they'll have helpful advice and so forth. But, you know, as a person as well, you actually have to be able to receive that and not go into the show and not be able to say, fuck, man, why does this guy keep fucking with me? Right.
Yes.
And I think, you know, to kind of get to that point, that's tough. Right. That's things that it takes, honestly, years to build. I mean, there's some people that you will come into your life and it's like, you know what? I feel like I've known this person like 20 years. And I know this guy 5 minutes. Like there's always people that are like that.
And,
you know, just kind of listen to you in general is the thing that I would say to you is you always have to know what your purpose is. What is your focus? And that is the probably the thing that I would emphasize with you, that if my focus is to help as much people as I can, then I need to put myself out there so people know that, hey, I'm here and I want to help you guys. This is my platform. This is what I'm able to do. And then who knows? You never know who's actually going to, have eyeballs on, on your shows, on your programs, anything. And that person say, I love this message. I love what they want to do. You know what? Yeah. Hey, Mr. Randy, let's set something up. Let's get this done together. And me personally, I'm just the type of person that I want to build with others. I'm big on networking. If someone wants to eat, we can all eat together, right? I don't need to be the one that's dropping 35 points in the game. You know what? I'm still going to get the same ring that you are, right? I still contribute. Yes. Yeah, what? You may have a few little floozies out there in the streets hanging out with you, but you know what? Our goal, our purpose was to get this chip. And we got it together, and we celebrate together.
I love that. I love that because, one of my favorite basketball players never was superstars. They were great basketball players, but they weren't superstars. I like people like Latrell Sprewell, Jason Terry. I love those kind of players because they always did what was best for the team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Except for Latrell choking out the coach. You see, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, mind the details.
No. Yeah. But nah, seriously though, I feel like, but we live in a society today where if you're not the main person, then you're doing something wrong. Everyone wants to be a celebrity or a superstar or something. And it's just like, I'm good at being a number two to a great number one. You see what I'm saying? Like I'm cool with that. Like you were saying earlier, playing the background and things like that. But there are times where we need to step out and shine our light and show people what we do because it could help break them. So lastly, I want to ask you this. You gave some warning signs of mental health. I definitely want you to reiterate that before we close out the live feed. Okay. But also, what do you feel like? What are some pressures that society puts on us that contributes to our mental health issues in America?
Well, it's funny. Like, as you were literally asking me this question, like, almost a lot of the answer just came in, right? America teaches us that one person should always get the credit of team efforts. And
yes,
it's amazing. Yes. Like it's the timing just couldn't be, even better, right? Just think about even the platforms like social media in general, right? It's okay. I need to show how wonderful my life really is. Look at me. I just bought this. Look at me. I just did that, right? And in reality, they're probably living like a cruddy ass life. And they're so miserable. But you know what? I have 10,000 followers and I need to show them how great my life is while everything around me is burning down. Like, I can't even afford my mortgage. I got freaking flats on my cars. But you know what? I took the picture at this right angle. I'm going to get 2,000 likes. So I'm good. And that's the thing. Like, you look at and then it actually fucks with you as well, because you're out here, you're grinding, you're working multiple jobs, you're putting in, all this work, all this effort. And then you see like, how the fuck did they afford this? Like, what am I doing wrong? And it starts messing up with your psyche.
Yes.
And that's tough, right? That's when it really becomes, okay, what the fuck am I doing wrong? And you have to kind of tune that stuff out. It's the one thing that I would say is that everyone has their own path. Everyone has their own journey. And I can't stress that part enough, right? What works for Sal Davis was in our chat, or what works for Judy Jetson, like that's your path. And you shouldn't be putting yourself up or putting anyone on a pedestal. Like it's not, okay, this is what I'm doing. And I want, fuck it. With everything the good Lord gave me, I'm going to be great at it.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And you know what? There's things, everyone has strengths. Everyone has weaknesses. And you know what? I know what some of these are. There's ways that I can improve it. And you know what? That's when that networking, that's where the collaboration comes in. You know what, Mr. Randy, you're wonderful at marketing. You know what? I'm good at creating content. We link up and now we got a fucking Voltron. We got a super force, right? Yes. And that's the type of stuff that, you know, a lot of us just need to do. And it's tough because in today's society, you know, kind of like Sal said, it's, yo, what the fuck? You're supposed to do this. This is what I keep seeing on TV. This is what I keep hearing. What the fuck? Oh, look at this highlight reel. Wow.
Yes. Yes.
And, and that's where people struggle. Like some of the most amazing, some of the most successful people in this entire world on walking on this planet, we have no idea about.
Yes. And, yes. They got on a pair of sweats and some New Balance shoes.
Exactly.
And it's a wall on a Walmart. I don't even know about it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, also, you know, you're looking at this and it's these messages on social media or on TV or in the movies, and they keep sending your way. You know, you're supposed to be fucking 6'6", chiseled, fucking $45 million in a bank account. You know, that is not your life. And that's okay. Because you know what? Yeah. I'm having a conversation with this little kid, and that little kid is going to grow up with some wonderful self-esteem, and he's going to be the person that cures cancer. You know that?
Yeah.
And that, to me, it's fucking more rewarding than living in a mansion. Well, it is. It's like 50-50. I don't know. It's like A, right? It's like 1A and 1B. So the kid curing cancer is 1A. Me living in a $100 million mansion is 1B. But you get the point. Yeah. It's a little bit higher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I got 5 children. Mm-hmm. I teach. I got 3 boys, 2 girls. And I teach. Me and my wife, we teach our children the importance of self-identity, self-esteem, and self-security. No one should be able to take your self-esteem away, your self-security away, or your identity away. You should be able to establish that within the parameters of the environment we set in the home for you. We don't overly punish, and we don't overly reward. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get a reward every time you make good grades. That's what you're supposed to do. Now, when I see you struggling in a subject and I see you be successful, I reward you because I've seen the struggle. I've seen you, and because I'm trying to build your mental capacity to understand the reality of the world we live in. Like the brother Sal said, he wanted us to talk about the misconceptions of manhood growing up as Black men in America and how we need to unlearn the BS. Like, I teach my son, like, my 3 boys, well, I teach 2 of them because my oldest is 10, my other son is 8, and then I have a baby boy. They're all by my wife. My baby boy is 1 year and a couple of months. But I teach my 2 older sons, I teach them, you're not going to be the best at everything, but give everything your best. Yep. That's one.
Salute.
You don't worry about disappointing me if you've given your full effort. You see what I'm saying? How can I, as a father, be this? First of all,
preach, brother.
A lot of us don't even have our biological fathers in the home. You know, I wasn't raised by my biological father. I had an awesome stepfather. I call him Pops because that's how I feel about him. Like, he raised me since I was 5 years old to the man I am now. So I had an example in the home. I mean, I still did stupid stuff, ran the streets and did dumb stuff. That was my fault, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I teach my children, first of all, mostly the friends that you have in your life don't have the same home life that you have. Doesn't make you better than them, though, at all. What makes you who you are is the decisions you make and how you feel about yourself. And so I teach that to my children, especially my boys. I teach them how to respect authority, yet don't take BS from a racist system. I teach my children, because I do a lot of activism work, and I'm not one of them overly exaggerated because it's trendy kind of activist. I've been doing this stuff since 2005. So I teach my boys Like I called a 1,000-man march September 19th of this year in Annapolis, Maryland. I'm in Maryland. That's where I'm from. Yep. And 2,500 black men showed up. I called for 1,000, 2,500 showed up. Great program. But we didn't just march. We deal with local politicians, and we have discussions with the local police force and things like that, so that things like a George Floyd or Breonna Taylor, things like that, won't happen in our local region. And if it does happen, we let them know there's going to be consequences. At the same time, we've also helped position people in places of power, whether they're delegates or whether they're the councilmen, the aldermen, or whatever. And we deal with the local politicians because we know that the system doesn't fit for us, mm-hmm. but there's loopholes in the system where we can get what we need to help build our community and do it for us, by us, instead of just depending on them. And so it's kind of like nation building. You know how a nation can negotiate with another nation mm-hmm. for the betterment of their people. And that's yep. how we approach the table. But we can't have the dialogue unless we're at the table. And so I teach my children all this, and they see it. They read news articles about me. And I teach my boys to be unapologetically black. Being unapologetically black doesn't mean that you hate other races or ethnicities. It just means that you love your people and who you are. And just because someone has black skin tone does not mean that they're your people, mm-hmm. Because we have sellouts as well. But I teach my boys these things. I teach them that every day when you come home and daddy's home with you, thank God for it, because daddy could have get pulled over by a police officer that had a bad day, and it could have been the end of daddy's life or your life. You know, like, I teach my children this. At the same time, I teach them, if something's on your mind, talk to me. I don't care if it hurts my feelings. I don't care if it goes against something I said. I want the discussion, because I don't want to be the parent that gives you mental issues because I held on to a tradition that was passed to me that wasn't beneficial to you. You know what I'm saying? And especially my oldest son, I talk to him a lot about that. Like, and I catch myself, because sometimes I'd be like, boy, don't question me. But mm-hmm. I'm like, wait. The beginning of intelligence works, how this operates, you know. So, you know, I know I just said a bunch, but I said all that to lead to this point. How can we as black men really break the concept of being super tough where you don't actually care about your mental condition? Then we'll leave with that.
Shit. what a question, man. I think, honestly, you know, you're doing it, you know, just honestly with the way that you know, you're raising your kids. And, you know, I think back of when I was young, and you know, my father, I used to be able to talk to him about everything, anything, you know, whatever was on my mind. And I know that when my dad passed away, that was tough for me, because I didn't have that person that I can just honestly just be myself. And I know that I would not be judged. And it's funny, like, my father, he was the diplomat of the family. So anytime anyone had an issue, they would talk to him, because they knew that my dad was never going to judge them. He would just sit there, he would listen, and he would provide his guidance, his input. And if you wanted to take it, that was great. And if you didn't, that was fine as well. But he always wanted to let everyone know that I'm here for you. It doesn't matter the time of day, I will listen and I will love you. As long as, of course, you're not out there doing some dumb shit and you're hurting others, right, which is a whole completely different thing. Right. But, right, you know, just kind of what you said, like, I think it's so important, you know, you can kind of tackle that, like, from various different ways. But I think you really have to tackle it from a child. And I think what happens is, especially as children, you know, I always just kind of just go back to my own personal experiences. I don't know what I'm feeling just yet, right? I don't know, okay, Susie doesn't like me. I don't know how to process that. Like, I don't know how to process rejection. Like, why doesn't she like me? And a lot of times these kids, they're growing up with so much anger, and, you know, they start channeling it in all these negative different manners. Or, you know, a kid is just always sad and he doesn't want to interact with somebody because he has, you know, that one bad experience. Or you join the team and then, you know what, you're not good, right? You wasn't born with, you know, being athletic, and you realize that you're just going to have to keep training and keep working hard. But what you learn, and you already noticed, you know, Randy, and just people in general, a lot of people talk, but they don't want to work hard.
Yes.
And especially, you know, being as part of, you know, again, my entire life has been like a sports background. So you see it all the time. It's, yeah, rah, 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 rah. But you know what? You're not the person that's out there 5 a.m. running, you know, just trying to get, you know, 0.1 faster being able to lift 2 or 3 plates, right? You're not putting in that work. Like my, you know, we were talking about like our sports heroes, like Kobe Bryant is my hero, that he will always be my hero. And you know what? You can say whatever you want, but the one thing you can never say is that he never worked hard and that he never cheated the game. And, yes, you know, just if you think about that, just think about that in life, right? We only get one life, and it's okay if you make these mistakes, and it's okay if, you know, things are just not going to go your way. And, you know, just kind of going back to the question, you know, as kids, we don't know that, right? We're just trying to figure out life. And, you know, I just remember just growing up, and there would be times where it's just like, yo, why am I so sad right now? Like, why doesn't nobody want to play with me? And I just didn't have an outlet. I just didn't have a way of truly understanding that. And, you know, that's why I love what you were saying, you know, how you're raising your kids. It's, you know what, come to me. Just come to me, talk to me, and we'll figure it out together. And I just want you to know that, you know what, I'm going to be here for you. And, you know, that's like I always can't keep going back to sports, but like Dwayne Wade, like that's someone that I honestly genuinely respect. Like if I am his child comes to him saying, you know what, again, I'm not going to get into the whole pronouns thing, but I don't comfortable. I don't feel comfortable being a he. That's a tough ass conversation. Like I was like when I first read the article, like I was just or seeing the interview, I'm like thinking like if my child came to me with that at 11, 12, 13, like you haven't experienced life. Like how do you, but what he did, what was so amazing is that he embraced it, he supported it, and he learned more about it and how to deal with the situation. And I think that's what we have to do to improve as, you know, just in terms of not even just being Black men, but just our community in general. Like we have to educate ourselves more of how to deal with this type of stuff. You know, we can see these kids having, you know, these early signs. And then, you know, like you said, we'll go into them a little bit more. And, you know, I know what to do. Okay, little JB is doing this. You know what? Let me have this discussion about this and let me see where it leads to.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe I'm not the person, or I just don't have the knowledge. But, you know, I can seek the knowledge.
But that's key. That's key, bro.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, you know what? Hey, you know what? Little JB, come with me. Let's go take a look at some ice cream. Let's go see this person. Just have, you know, a father-son moment, right? And then, you know, you go and you just have a conversation. And you know what? That may be exactly what that little kid needs to help build his self-esteem, build his self-love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's where it really starts. It's going to start with our children because they're, again, to be all cliche, but they are our future.
Yeah.
And
not only that,
you know, as we're developing and we're molding these wonderful little kids, to your point earlier, we have to fucking destroy our infrastructures. Like our infrastructures are designed for us to fail. They're not designed for us to be successful. I mean, you can literally see, you can think about any type of infrastructure that we have, whether it's our education system, whether it's our judicial system, whether it's our fucking healthcare system. Like, it's anything you can, they're not designed for us. And that's where it gets a little bit more challenging.
But hold up, JB. If you don't agree with my ideology, I can't support you.
Listen, that's and that's tough because, like, I call spades spade. I will say this to the audience: I am a Republican.
Yes,
everyone that knows me, I am a Republican.
Okay,
I had to vote Biden because this fucking other guy that we had is such a dipshit and just screwed everything up. Right. Yes. But you know what? I realized that saying, OK, I need let me just make this very clear. I never voted for him in the first place. I voted for Hillary and then I voted for Biden. But I'm still a Republican. Just want to make that very clear. So anyway. But the point is, we have to work together. Right. So not just either us in terms of the way that, you know, us that look like each other, but it's just other people in general. We need allies, and those allies, they need our help as well.
Yeah,
and that's the thing, is that continued collaboration, that's the only way that a lot of these systems are going to get destroyed. And, you know, you're always going to have the argument, do we need to destroy it completely and be, you know, just so extreme? Do we need to fix it up and just add little things to it? You know what? I'm not going to sit here and act like I know the answer to that. But what I do know, that future state, that desired state that we want, is going to only come through collaboration.
Yes, yes. And that's why, you know, from the moment I reached out to you, I felt that I felt that vibe from you. I felt like I didn't have to worry about having to combat you. I felt like we were going to automatically link. Like, I feel like this is just the beginning of the work we're going to do together. And I mean that genuinely. I'm not just saying that because we're on live or whatever. People that know me know.
People are listening.
Yeah, people know I don't do that front and stuff, you know. But you said so much powerful stuff, bro. You know, and I learned how to talk to my sons out of the desires that I've had in my heart of how I wish someone would have talked to me. And I've built things with people in my community and even outside my community. I got white friends too. Now, I lost a lot of white friends. Let me just say that. But I have white friends too that are genuine, good-hearted people who had no clue of what I had to deal with as a Black man in America. And so I educated them to my best of my ability. And speaking to you saying we need allies and things from other ethnicities and things like that, like, I agree with that. Also, I feel like this entire system, I'm not a conspiracy theorist because I don't think certain things are theories. I think certain things are facts.
Mm-hmm.
There are 13 Jew-ish families that control a lot of the infrastructure that runs the world right now. And, you know, people always throw out the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and all that. You know, we know those names. Those are names that were, you know, we know them. But there's other families out there that run things as well. And I feel like society, the media, by the way, which the news and the media are run by six corporations. They like, think about that. The world news is ran by six companies that all work together. But I feel like the television, the telepathic visions that they're shooting to our brain waves, our frequencies, have us fighting against one another. Like, I've examined your platform and I'm like, yo, I want to help promote this. So, like, even on my radio show that's coming up Tuesday, I already have the link ready to send to my audience. Because to me, I feel like if I'm not elevating you, what am I doing to help you if I believe in what you're doing? You had an episode recently that talked about new friends. You know, now I didn't listen to the entire episode, but I heard snippets of the episode. And, you know, it's at the end of the day, if we're not focused on relationships, friendships, family, building mental in the capacity of our mental health and what we're doing to better another person, we're selfish. We have our own ambitions that are not beneficial to the overall of life itself. And I feel like people deal with that in relationships and friendships and family. And I want to talk like the next time we go live together, I want to talk about relationships. I want to talk about how mental health issues, emotional health issues, and past traumas hinder or destroy or sabotage is the word I want to use. They sabotage our present relationships because we're punishing someone for something that happened to us in the past and they had nothing to do with it.
Oh, don't worry. I got a good story for you there.
Yeah, but I want to save that for the next time we go live together. You know what I'm saying? So, in closing, man, I appreciate you. I already feel a brotherhood there. Of course, I want to do more live IG stuff with you. I'm gonna save this video. I'm actually gonna upload it to my my podcast YouTube channel, and so I'm gonna blast all your links and everything on there, your social media on there as well. Is there anything else that you want to leave with the audience before we close out the live?
Really, really quick. One, I just wanted to kind of just thank our audience for tuning in, you know, for Randy kind of providing this platform for us. And honestly, the real takeaway that I have for this series is, guys, it's okay. And I just can't emphasize that part enough. Guys, it's okay. And we have one fucking life. Make it the best that you can. And, you know, it's like so many cliche things. It's, you know, try to find what your purpose is. Do this. Listen, life is simple. I'm going to tell you right. I'm going to give you this last gem before I leave. How life is simple. Be a good fucking person. That is it. That is it. That is the secret of life. You wake up, you work on yourself, trying to be a better person, and then you elevate the people around you. It's really just that simple. And if that's all you do, just think about that. Just think about the times where you woke up, you helped somebody out with whatever situation is, and you see how, you know, their eyes just light up and they're just so much happier. The moods change and how that made you feel. Or, you know, when you're like in that situation and someone has helped you. And that's why life is so simple in that, you know, in that sense. Yes, you're going to have all these external forces. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to make it so much more difficult. But if you really, truly just break down the essence of life, I work on myself becoming a better person. I help the people around me. Yeah. The people around me help me as well. Now we just created a community. The community does the same thing. And now, wow, look, we're in a fucking wonderful area. And now I can actually go outside and enjoy it because we don't have a damn pandemic because people don't know how to wear a damn mask. But that's a whole nother story for another day. But that's how simple life can be. It's just a good person, work on yourself, and elevate the people around you. And you know what? There's going to be people that don't deserve that in a sense that they're going to be toxic and they're going to try to bring you down. And it's up to you to decide, okay, are you going to try to help them out anyway and see if you can kind of shift or mold this toxic behavior into something more positive? Or you just cut the strings and say, hey, you know what? This is not good for my own personal health, my personal development. And I'm sorry. I wish you the best in the future. So you never wish anyone, you know, I'm a big believer in good karma. I wish you only the best, but you know what? This is just not going to work for us.
You know, and that's a powerful statement. I'm going to end it with a statement of this. A philosopher named Jay Krishnamurti says, it is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. I'm going to say this one more time. J. Krishnamurti, philosopher, said this: it is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. Listen, thank you guys for watching. We're going to do this again and again and again. Follow JB versus everybody on Instagram. Follow me at Mr. Randy Chu. We're gonna be having a series talking about mental health, emotional health, relationships, friendships, families, the whole nine. So stay tuned. This is just the beginning. Thank everyone for listening. And I'm gonna go upstairs and enjoy my wife and my children. And
hey.
JB, I appreciate your time, sir. Salute. This is just the icebreaker, by the way. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I appreciate
it. And see, this is how life works out. I got the Clubhouse invite as we were talking. So it's coming your way, like we was talking about before.
Oh, okay, okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, yeah, man, salute. We'll see you guys next. I'm going to save this live, and I'm going to download it. I'm going to shoot it to you, JB, and then I'm going to upload it to my platform. And you can do whatever
I'm going to do the same thing, man. I appreciate that. Again, everything that... This was just wonderful, and I look forward to just more collaborations. Salute to you and your platform, and I cannot wait for more.
Thank you, sir. All right, everyone. We gone. Deuces.